Since when does the government not enforce the law of the land? Since when does the U.S. government allow protesters to illegally protest outside the homes of our Supreme Court justices? Apparently, since Joe Biden became president of this country, it's total anarchy. And you know what? This needs to stop. Welcome, everyone, to the Trish Regan Show. It's good to have you here. I'm Trish. Portions of today's program are brought to you by Legacy Precious Metals. There has never been a better time to invest in precious metals than right now. Go to legacypminvestments.com for more. Again, legacypminvestments.com. We are going to talk about investing a little bit later in the program because did you see the wholesale inflation numbers today? The market continues its volatile move downward. So I want to get into all of it. But before we do, anarchy. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, we are reaching a state of near anarchy right now in which the law of the land has become irrelevant. Protesters, they continue to gather outside the homes, the residences of our Supreme Court justices, where they live with their families, and yet we got crickets on the White House. Oh, better than crickets. The White House is actually all for these protests. Need I remind them that it's actually against the law to protest outside the home of a Supreme Court justice? I'm all for, you know, freedom of speech. I am all for peaceful protests. But in this case, what's remarkable here is that we do have a law that says you can't protest outside the home of a Supreme Court justice. And there's a reason for that, right? There's a reason for that because it's viewed as a form of intimidation. And our Supreme Court justices, they need to be above it all. You know, they need to be above the politics once they're on the bench. And yet, our Attorney General, Merrick Garland, he does nothing. Our President, Joe Biden, does nothing. It's in part because, well, I get it. They don't like the decision that the Supreme Court justices have come to that has been revealed thanks to the Roe v. Wade leak. But you see, that doesn't matter. Not when we have laws on our books that are designed to prevent the protests outside the homes. In fact, a new poll shows the majority of Americans, regardless of where they stand on the issue of Roe v. Wade, they don't think this is a good idea. They don't think people should be protesting outside justices' homes. And yet again, the White House is silent. Fortunately, you've got some conservative politicians out there that are drawing attention to the issue and saying, okay, enough, including recently Senator Marsha Blackburn out of Tennessee. You've also seen Senator Tom Cotton out of Arkansas make a big deal of this. The federal law, they're saying it, look, it needs to be enforced. Is that too much to ask? Senator Cotton actually just sent a letter over to the Attorney General because, again, the laws on the books need to be there to protect the Supreme Court justices. Think about this. I mean, can you imagine, humor me, can you imagine a decision where it was actually the reverse? I mean, when if they had decided to do the opposite of what they did, and if it were actually conservatives that were protesting outside the homes of justices, do you know exactly what would happen? I mean, I can see it now. They'd be hauling everybody off to jail, right? But because the protesters are doing what the administration wants and what the Democrats think is politically savvy and expedient, and guess what? Somehow they're allowed to do it. Somehow it's all okay. This is just on par, right? This is on course. Because this is what the administration wants. And I keep saying, this is why we're living in such a dangerous time, in which things like government disinformation boards are sprouting up and being headed by people who are active participants in spreading propaganda themselves. I'd like to remind the Democrats in charge right now that, you know what? This works both ways, okay? It's a slippery slope. Because if you're going to cut off half the country and prevent half the people in this nation who pay their taxes and are law-abiding citizens from having any kind of stake in our future, then guess what? You are going to risk creating a massive division in this country from which we will never heal. Meanwhile, it's critical. It's critical that political activists like those we have in the White House right now understand that when speech is suppressed, or only one viewpoint is allowed, when only one group is able to go out and protest, that can just as easily shift it can backfire on them. And law and order, because of that, is so critical no matter the political viewpoint. All right, turning to the economy right now. Wholesale inflation keeps going up, 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 and away. I told you it would. Well, we've got wholesale prices or producer prices. The PPI, the producer price index, rising 11% in the last month. This has become rather typical. You know, I told you months ago we'd be looking at double-digit inflation by now, and here we are. You got 11% now on the producer price index. And this is awful. And let me just explain how this works, right? These are wholesale prices. This is what producers pay for goods. So by the time it catches up with the consumer, it tends to escalate consumer prices as well. So this is what you call a leading indicator. You can look to this indicator, the PPI, for a sense of what CPI, consumer price index, is going to look like down the road. This is a big negative for the economy. It's another example, really and truly, of how the administration's economic policies continue to hurt everyday Americans. It's a problem. And you know what? We could very well be looking at stagflation in the near future. Our economy declined 1.4% last quarter. If it declines again this quarter, well, then that's the classic definition of recession, which is in part why you're seeing these markets trade lower. I mean, there are some ways you can help protect yourself. I want to get into how you create a diversified portfolio, how you look at maybe taking some opportunities if you have some cash that you can put to work long term on the sidelines. But another way to consider protecting yourself for the future, another way to save a few hundred dollars a month or even more, is to consider a mortgage refinance, especially when home equity is on the rise. Interesting, right? Because you've got home prices going up, 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 significantly higher in the last year. And there's a way to use that to your advantage, provided you can get a low enough rate. And you don't have a whole lot of time. That's the reality, right? Because rates are going up. The Fed has no choice. Rates are going up. And so you want to refinance, frankly, now rather than put it out a year. You want to get as low a rate as you possibly can. You might want to shorten your term, if at all possible, to help lock in that lower rate. You might want to, I don't know, you could access cash. You could even consolidate your debt. If you want to do any of these things, though, I want you to give my friends over at American Financing a call. America's Home for Home Loans. You can get a free mortgage review and you can learn all about custom loan options before moving forward. There's no pressure. There's no obligation. There's no upfront or hidden fees. Just a simple conversation with these guys about how you can save hundreds, maybe even thousands of dollars. I don't know what your mortgage is a month, but you know what? That adds up, right? That adds up to real money, tens of thousands of dollars long term. So think about the difference that that can make for you and your family. Give them a call. You can learn a whole lot more. You can get this done really soon, actually. They can close, they tell me, in as fast as 10 days. So call 1-888-504-0547. Again, that's 1-888-504-0547. Or you can visit AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Okay, let's get back to this market right now, because what a day, you know, another one of these crazy days. I liked where the VIX was. It was just barely above 34, and I'm encouraged by that. You know that I watch that index really carefully because, well, for me anyway, it's emblematic of how much fear is in the marketplace. And when it gets above 34, it starts to make everything else look that much more interesting. It's just a technical indicator I like. But the NASDAQ, you know, like, it kind of managed to eke through the day, closing teeny, teeny, tiny bit in the green. You had the S&P down again. You had the Dow Jones Industrial Average down again. And you had, as I said, the VIX, at least at one point in intraday trading, looking around 34, it declined later in the session down to 31. But you can see this volatility really is here for a while. So it's important to think about how you're investing. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But one of the things that you can do in light of the challenges right now, and if you're interested in having some diversification in your portfolio, if you are interested in making sure you can help hedge some of this inflation, then I would encourage you to look at investing in gold. I mean, gold is one of those investments that I like, because over time, it really helps to even out all the fluctuations that you see given market volatility and also given inflation. And it's something that's just been around forever. So when gold goes down, that's actually my opportunity anyway, on a personal level, to go in. And gold is down. $1,820 an ounce is where it ended the session. That's in part due to continuing strength in the U.S. dollar, the expectation, hopefully, that the Fed can get inflation under control, because they're going to keep raising rates until they can bring that 8.5% increase in consumer prices, or the 11%. It's 8.3, forgive me, 0.2 point off. It declined 0.2 point in the last month, or the 11% increase in wholesale prices down. And so gold is, you know, look, I like it as just sort of a pillar in my portfolio. Maybe I shouldn't say pillar. I say, you know, between 1% and 5%, provided you can afford it. And to do this, I recommend calling my friends over at Legacy Precious Metals. They're really wonderful, and they will help you through this entire thing. 1-866-589-0560, 1-866-589-0560. Their website is legacypminvestments.com, legacypminvestments.com, and they can help you through this entire process. They've got a great guide on their website, so you can download that and take a look at how you might invest in a gold-backed IRA or actual physical gold, which, hey, look, a lot of people like, given all that's happening. But let's turn back to the markets right now, because Twitter, actually, let's see where Twitter ended the day. Twitter ended, it's still quite a bit away from that 54.20 mark, right? That's the price that Elon Musk is paying per share. So we're expecting that the stock will move higher, provided the deal closes. And that's the trade we're watching right now. You see the risk arb guys, the risk arb traders and gals, aggressively trading this stock to see, you know, whether or not it's going to get to that 54.20. Today, or at least in Thursday's session, we found that it was just at $45.08 a share. I want to point out that the company did part ways with two executives that had senior level positions. This is presumably as it starts to really begin this change process, right? The shift towards a new culture, given all that's expected when Elon Musk comes in. I just want to state again, I think it's healthy to have some diversity in opinion. And I think, unfortunately, too many of these big tech companies have had sort of only one way of thinking. And so consequently, everybody's so easily offended. Everybody's so anxious to take something down. And what Elon Musk has really advanced is this idea that you need to err on the side of speech. So this is an important cultural shift for Twitter. It's also pretty strategic, because Elon's plan is to take the company private for 3 years and then bring it back out to public markets. But it needs revenue, right? Like it's not anywhere near reaching its potential when you think about how many users it has and how it's grown those users. And yet, how do you tap into that as a revenue source? That's what the company has really failed to do, what Elon Musk thinks he can. So interesting days ahead. You know, it's going to take still probably about another 5 months or so to close this deal. And so the risk arb traders have some time to play around. 54.20 again is the price that he's aimed for. But 45.08 is where we are today. So watch it carefully and closely. I'll be here with you every step of the way. A quick reminder, you know, I know that investing is tricky and often disheartening in this kind of environment. It's hard to watch what you had accumulated go down like it has. But I would just stress that, you know, if you're in this for the long haul, as I am, and you're not risking your last dollars here, it's important to keep everything in perspective. And so you want to do that right now. You want to make sure you're diversified. You want to make sure that you're looking into all the alternatives you possibly can. In fact, Key City Capital's Charlie Dombeck is going to be back on the show tomorrow. And I know a lot of you have been really interested in the private equity environment for real estate investing. So we'll talk a little bit more about that, speaking of alternative investments. But also think about, you know, where you want to put your money right now in terms of stocks. I've said all along, some of those bigger companies that are growth oriented, we're talking the Facebooks of the world and the Netflix. And I know that a lot of people don't like them, but, you know, this is just me putting my investor hat on. Heck, even Disney. I know Disney is sort of a political no-go for a lot of people, but it's getting beaten down in ways that happen to be interesting, I think, from an investing perspective. So do sharpen your pencils. Look for these opportunities. I mentioned yesterday other ones, maybe being PayPal, another company that's being really beaten down. And it's a way perhaps to pay into, into this alternative crypto space for online payments, because I expect the company's going to have a big future there. Speaking of which, Twitter could very well too. So there's things to be focused on. You can't give up hope just yet. Even though, what was it, the year 2000 when the NASDAQ declined nearly 80%. I sure hope that we don't see a repeat of that situation. You'd be okay today, but it would have taken you 15 years, right? Just to get back to square one. Thank you so much for watching. Make sure that you subscribe to this channel. Make sure that you subscribe to my newsletter over at trishintel.com. Make sure that you subscribe to my channel over on Locals. I'm everywhere. Locals.trishregan.com. I'd love to have you there. Actually, it's trishregan.locals.com. So trishregan.locals.com. And I will be back with you here tomorrow. And again, with the Key City Capital interview. See you then.